Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another Baseball America podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce, live from Dallas, Texas, and the winter meetings as they are closing down. I have Dylan up in America's hat in Canada. I'm being insulting. You can get mad at me for saying that. Dylan, how's it going today? I didn't introduce you as a former NFBC main event co-champion, but
that's fine. That's so far in my rear view mirror. It doesn't matter. I was going to say it's always the winter meetings up here for me, just based on the weather. But you've been going nonstop for days. I've been seeing you on podcasts. I've been seeing you writing trades, doing the Rule 5, of course, and just being plugged into what's going on down there. So
yeah,
give the 2-minute summary of what's been going on.
A lot of stuff, man. Why don't we talk about some of the moves? I think that's probably the best way to get into it. So I think the big headliner here dropped moments before the Rule 5 draft because Jeff Passan just wants to throw his as much chaos as he can into our day-to-day lives here at BA as we're gearing up for our Rule 5 draft, something that JJ and I do a lot of work on and obviously very much enjoy covering. And then the Crochet deal drops. And, you know, of course, Garrett Crochet going to the Red Sox. Personally, I think this is a great move for them. When you look at age, when you look at someone coming into their prime, when you look at cost and also the ability to extend him probably at a pretty reasonable dollar value, from my understanding, that was part of the negotiations in this, is that, you know, an extension was part of what was probably going to happen and be discussed. And the terms were, I don't know if they were discussed with player agent and teams or what, but I think that some of that was floating out there. So that being said, that, you know, there probably is some framework of a potential extension. I think you look at what the Red Sox paid. It's one of the first trades that we've seen, really, I think, since 2023 in terms of multiple top 100 prospects moving. Maybe even as far back as 22, if I look back on it. But two top 100 type of prospects, certainly Kyle Teal, then Brady Montgomery, who I think is somebody that can slot into 60 to 100, 120, somewhere in that range. But both, you know, premier prospects, I think, in the game, one a catcher, one a recently drafted right fielder who's never put on a Red Sox uniform outside of draft day. Because, of course, he had an ankle injury at the end of his season with Texas A&M. Big switch hitting power hitter, has a big arm in right field, was a two-way player his first few years at Stanford, transferred to Texas A&M this year. Chase Mydroth, a favorite of data analysts all over the place, people who have models for fantasy baseball, you know, whether it's yourself or Jordan Rosenblum or of course the folks over at, you know, Scout the Statline, which to an extent is Jordan as well. You know, I've really been beating the drum on Chase Mydroth for a while. You know, I know the Red Sox have pushed him to me as a potential top 100 prospect for the last several months. We did not have him on the list, but I think when you look at bats of ball skills approach, there's not many prospects better than Mydroth. Had a very good year in AAA and a fairly young minor league career too. I mean, he was in AAA this year for a full season and is not Rule 5 eligible this year. So I think that says a lot. He could walk right into the starting lineup for the White Sox day one. So let me ask you, I think we both think that Brayden Montgomery is probably a year away. Okay. Mm-hmm. In terms of what are your expectations this year for Teal and Mydroth in fantasy? Are these guys that potentially you're interested in rostering now?
So Teal, I think, was already being considered to be someone who's going to contribute in 2025. I think it's just as likely, just as probable that he will. It kind of hurts Edgar Caro. His fantasy value for 2025 was relatively high. I think you and I were on the Rob DiPietro Pull Hitter podcast. I said that he seemed to be of the catching, quote unquote, prospects. I thought he had the best chance for the most plate appearances of them all. Agustin Ramirez, Adrian Del Castillo, Kyle Teal, Jefferson Caro, those guys. I thought that he was the most likely to have like regular playing time. Dalton Rushing kind of being in the weird spot of playing outfield, but being catcher eligible. Now that seems to be in jeopardy. Edgar Caro's playing time because of Kyle Teal. So I think the two of them are going to kind of cancel each other out for fantasy value in 2025. Long-term, I wonder who it is going to be that's going to kind of shake out as the regular, or maybe it's going to be some kind of platoon situation. I like both of them in Dynasty, but now it's kind of they're fighting for playing time there. Chase Mydroth, I think he could slide right into the lineup for the White Sox. I mean, they have Brooks Baldwin, I think, at second base kind of penciled in right now. Because I think second base is probably where Mydroth will be. No, Brooks Baldwin's at shortstop. Lennon Sosa's at second base. So I think, you know, both of those could easily be overtaken by Chase Mydroth. Like you said, incredible bat-to-ball skills, incredible on-base ability. He had a 495 on base in 2023 in single A or high A or something like that. Very, very passive. So not only does he not chase, I think he had one of the lowest chase rates in the entire minor leagues, but he doesn't really swing at all. Had that swing decision article I wrote a month ago or so, where he's firmly in like the top left quadrant, which is don't swing at pitches in the heart of the zone and don't swing at pitches outside of the zone. So he was kind of the poster child for that. But I really like Chase Mydroth. I think in Dynasty, because the playing time is now pretty much assured in Chicago versus Boston, where it seems like there is just an open space for him to play, I think it's definitely arrow up for Chase Mydroth. Brayden Montgomery, I really liked him as a FYPD guy early, and it was it was in large part due to the Boston Red Sox hitting development machine, where they can coax out exit velocity. It just seems like they're doing some good things. You know, we saw with Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony, and I really wanted to see what they would do with Brayden Montgomery. I'm a bit concerned, in quotes, that he's in Chicago. What do you think? Do you move him down?
I view it the opposite way. I think that the bat speed training was good. This is a guy that's been an established player since he was a high schooler. He was a 2021 draft eligible guy out of high school, was a two-way player. There were some teams that were interested in him as a pitcher. He's really developed as a hitter. You know, there's not many switch hitters that have this kind of power. So he kind of has the EVs and the power already present. Mm-hmm. I think that he was in an organizational fit with the Red Sox, where there's a lot of outfielders who they have a lot of control on who are very young that there may not have been he would have been blocked maybe for another a year or you know, a year and a half, maybe from where he'll be with Chicago. I could see him maybe even with a good season ascending to the major leagues by the end of the year. So I think Montgomery is like, for me, remains a very good prospect in FYPD. While you may knock the development side of it a little bit, where you think it could be better with the Red Sox. I don't know how much development you need. I think you can sort of trade that off with opportunity with the White Sox and getting up to the big leagues and getting more at bats and et cetera. So I think you can look at it from a positive or a negative standpoint. I'm going to look at the glasses half full. And actually, he was one of my targets in our target article this week.
Very good. Well, that's good to know. I was a bit, like I said, concerned in quotes that, you know, he was Chicago seems to be a bit more of a or a bit less advanced in their prospect development on the hitting side. And so I was a bit concerned that, you know, he wasn't going to be part of the Boston machine, which has been so successful in the last couple of years. So that's good to know that you think it's pretty much a lateral move and that now the opportunity is going to be there and more likely for him. So that's great.
Well, let's move on to a very Dylan Core kind of trade. Toronto acquires Andreas Giménez, a Dylan favorite from the last couple of years, a guy that's won three consecutive gold gloves at second base, can play some shortstop, has not had the type of offensive output that he put up in 2022 since the last 2 years have not been as productive, but still can be a contributor. How do you think this impacts his value? Are you excited for Giménez joining your Jays?
I am excited. I like Giménez. Like you said, he is a favorite. I've always liked him. It's interesting that the much maligned Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro push for run prevention with the Dalton Varsho trade, which a lot of Toronto fans don't like, even though his WAR has been good, but giving up Lourdes Gurriel and Gabriel Moreno has been difficult to swallow when they see Dalton Varsho struggling at the plate. So that whole run prevention philosophy has been much maligned over here. And kind of digging in further with Andreas Giménez, I have no problem. War is war, as far as I'm concerned. If you get it on the defensive side of the ball versus the offensive side of the ball, it's still war, as far as I'm concerned. So I like it. You know, he signed an extension. He's worth a lot of money. It's going to cost a lot of money, but we, you know, we lost out in the Soto sweepstakes, to no one's surprise. Still stung from the Ohtani missing out as well. So, you know, they want to spend money. And I like it. I think we can afford Andreas Giménez. We gave up Spencer Horwitz, which I was interested to see how he was going to do in a full season with the Jays. You know, he's kind of been a data darling. He showed more power when he was in the majors when he debuted last year. I liked what I saw, and I wanted to see what he would do. So, you know, he's now moved on, not to be a spoiler or whatever, he's now moved on from Cleveland to Pittsburgh. So I'd like to see him get full-time at bats there. I'd like to see what's going to happen with him. But I think it's good for the Jays. I think it's a lateral move in terms of fantasy value. Like, it's not that the Jays are the powerhouse offense that they were in the past, but neither was Cleveland. So I think it's a lateral move in that way. And, you know, I think, you know, he's going to kind of shore up second base where we had kind of a revolving door. And it wasn't clear who it was going to be. Was it going to be Horwitz? Is it going to be Davis Schneider? Is it going to be Will Wagner? We're not sure.
Strangely productive, by the way. If you go and look at what the production was of that platoon of seven players last year at second base, I think they had like the fourth or fifth most WAR at second base, which is sort of remarkable to me. But I don't know if Fangraphs maybe calculates it like everybody who played second and their total versus like their actual value at second. I would assume it's the latter, but I looked at it yesterday and was surprised that it wasn't in the bottom half of the league. I'll say that. So I agree with you. And I think adding a really slick defender, it also gives them an opportunity to potentially pivot if they decide to trade Bo Bichette for another piece, another bat, a bigger bat, and commit that money to Vlad Guerrero Jr. I am of the mind, and Boston fans right now think that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to Boston next year, because he liked an Instagram post with Rafael Devers and Juan Soto in Red Sox uniforms. Okay. Now, that said, I don't think the Blue Jays want to see this guy walk. I just think, frankly, he is the face of the franchise, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I would place my chips on Bo getting traded. That said, let's keep in the AL East.
But do you think Giménez would shift over to short? Is that what they would do?
I think Giménez would shift over to short, or they could potentially use Kasevich at second or short, because they do have some. He is close to the majors, had a good year, good bat to ball skills, good on base skills. hits the ball harder than you think, 103.5, 90th percentile exit velocity, maybe needs to add a little loft, but he has like Mydroth level bat to ball skills and approach. So you can sacrifice some contact to maybe get a little bit more backspin. I think he's interesting and could be a guy that maybe factors in with the Jays next year and can play a couple of positions up the middle. But let's move on to another signing here. Don't worry, we're going to get to the big one last. Max Fried, huge contract with the Yankees. On its face, I don't love this deal. I understand what Fried can provide for the Yankees in the short term, and I think it's good for them. The long term of the money, some of the health questions, I would be a little bit scared about signing Fried for an eight-year deal at this kind of dollar value. But the market is the market, and he's a very good pitcher. So, Dylan, what's your take on Fried for next year now that he's moving to New York from Atlanta?
Probably fantasy value wise, it's going to be a lateral move. Again, I'll use that term. Atlanta obviously had a lot of wins that they gave Max Fried. Yankees are not much worse, not much of a step down. A lefty in Yankee Stadium is much better than being a righty, I think. I agree, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of years committed. Kind of felt like not a desperation move, but a response to not getting Soto and kind of trying to calm down the fan base for who probably wanted blood that they got beat out by their neighbors for Juan Soto. So I think it was kind of like throw some meat to the rabid fans. He'll be fine for the next few years. I think he'll have a ERA in the threes, a lot of wins, as long as he's healthy. Yankees are still a good team, so he's gonna get a lot of wins, and I think he's gonna be fine. Like if I was drafting him before this signing, I'm still drafting him basically in the same spot, and maybe even more with more confidence because I know where he is instead of the possibility of him landing in some spot where I don't like the park or I don't like the offensive production behind him. So I think it's fine for this year in Dynasty. Maybe I'm a bit. I may want to take advantage of sort of him being in the news right now, and he's with the Yankees, the powerhouse Yankees, and so maybe trade him now before the production falls off a cliff. Because if you look at his age curves, like he's not gonna he's pretty much in his decline right now, and in 4 or 5 years he's gonna be basically an average pitcher. So it's kind of take advantage now and trade him if you have him.
I would agree with that. And you had mentioned it a little bit, but Juan Soto signs with the Mets. The last, but certainly not least, humongous mega free agent contract like we have never seen before. How do you like the fit with the Mets? I think it's a good organization. I think it's a good lineup, but it's a downgrade in park. There's no doubt about that.
It is a downgrade in park. But I mean, Soto is Soto. Maybe he's not going to hit 40 home runs, but he's going to get 35. Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Francisco Alvarez, who I still believe in a lot. He's got good supporting pieces, and I don't think they're done signing. They may not bring back Alonso, but I think they may sign another hitter in that lineup. Maybe not, but I think they're going to want to support Soto. So I like it. I think it's fine. And like he's kind of park agnostic. It doesn't really matter where he signs. He's still going to be incredible. I was not disappointed for the teams where I do have Juan Soto in my keepers in dynasties that he signed with the Mets. It was kind of I'm glad that the saga is over.
Yeah, it landed right before I went, or right as I had gone to bed for my really early flight on Sunday night. And I kind of rolled over when I heard the message at like 10:30, 10:45, and was like, oh, Soto signed. Okay, roll back over, go to sleep. So, yeah, it was kind of like that for me, where I think like the way this is dragged out, even though we signed pretty early, I think we just knew a lot about what the process was, who the players were, how things were kind of progressing. There was all this smoke around Boston, and then it really seemed like the final couple of days, it seemed like those that were in the know were saying Mets and Yankees. And it sounds like that's what they came down to. And the Mets, Steve Cohen has a lot of money to spend and he's looking to win. So with that said, let's take a quick break. That's our news and notes from the winter meetings. When we come back, We're going to each give you one target and one sleeper from the outfield dynasty rankings that were just released on Baseball America. We'll be right back.
Just like a manager needs to plan to get that perfect matchup in the late innings of a game, you need to have a strategy to protect you and your family's future. That's why long before they ever sponsored the Baseball America podcast, I used SelectQuote when I needed to find life insurance. It was fast, it was easy, and it gave me peace of mind that I was getting the right policy at the best price possible. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion of coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and to be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work for carriers to get you same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you may think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Get the right insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/BA. Go to SelectQuote.com/BA today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/BA. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Indeed is the easy choice when we need to make a hire at Baseball America. It provides excellent tools to help get our job out in front of qualified candidates, and it helps me keep me organized throughout the hiring process. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
And we're back. Dylan, we're talking Dynasty Outfielder rankings today. We're not going to go through the whole rankings. You can go and check those out on the site. We're going to talk a lot more about this group because it's some of the most talented players in Dynasty. When we get to the full rankings, we kind of do our full ranking show talking about, you know, the top whatever number that we decide to go to this year, 500 plus. So Dylan, I'm going to kick it over to you first. Why don't you give me one of your targets and tell me why you're targeting him this year?
I picked Emmanuel Rodriguez of the Twins as a target. Maybe I should preface it by a target in OBP leagues. In OBP leagues, I think he's just going to be fantastic. He's going to have like 370, 380, 390 OBPs. In batting average leagues, it's going to be a bit dicier, maybe 220, 230. So keep that in mind when you hear what I'm about to say. He's got an incredible eye. He hardly swings, but his swings at pitches in the zone is actually average. So it's not like he's just very passive. It seems like the pitchers may be pitching around him, but he does not chase at all. He has walk rates in like the 20%. He's always had. He's been young for the level for years. His exit velocities are top of the charts. I think he had a 110 mile per hour 90th percentile exit velocity this year. He also is battling a thumb injury while doing so. He finished in AAA after kind of dominating in AA, being at the top of the RoboScout AA rankings pretty much all year. And he's always been near the top every year in RoboScout just because he's so young for the level and he just crushes the ball. So I think he may debut this year, but it doesn't matter. He's 22 and he's going to be patrolling Minnesota outfield for a long time. He's center field right now, probably going to be pushed to a corner, but right now he still has double digit speed in the majors. Like he should be able to steal like 15 bases in his first couple years, but probably pushed to a corner where he'll just be a slugging masher. So, you know, I think he's going to have high OBPs. He's going to have like 30 home run power, 10 to 15 stolen bases during those years. And just a masher. So, but again, because of his batting average, because it's a high strikeout rate, because his swinging, there is some swing and miss in the profile. The contact isn't, it's a bit below average. So there will be some batting average pressure. So he'll be around 220, 230. So if you can't stomach that, then, you know, keep that in mind. But in OBP leagues, it's just through the roof for me.
Yeah, I agree. I like Emmanuel Rodriguez. I think it's a really good player, just all around in terms of, you know, what he can contribute. Like you said, lower batting average potential there. But I just think the outlier power, the on-base skills, if you play in points leagues or OBP style formats, I think he gets a huge bump. Like you look at a guy like Kyle Schwarber, who had a great season last year. And I think I wrote this up in our outfield rankings here, but was like a top five outfielder or so last year. I believe he finished second. He was like a top 10 player in OBP. And I think it's kind of the same style of player with more defensive value because he can actually play a position in the outfield and it's a more athletic body and he can run a little bit. So think about what Schwarber can provide because I think it's a very similar power on base profile. Add in some speed, add in some more defensive versatility, and I think you got a pretty good player there. I'm going to throw out my first one here, Dylan. Well, I guess we're only doing one, but we have two on the site, so if you want to go and check them out, you certainly can. He's entering his age 30 season, and I sometimes feel like in Dynasty, these guys between like 28 and like 31, 32 are still in their sort of prime years, especially if they have good skills and good lineup spots, et cetera. They can go a little bit underrated and you can acquire them for a little bit cheaper than you should. You can move some prospects with some risk and mitigate your own risk on your roster and add a player like this. But Ian Happ of the Cubs, when I started to dig into the numbers, we have back-to-back years of 20 plus home runs, 10 plus steals. I think it's about 13, 14 in each of the last 2 years. But he produces a lot of runs and a lot of RBIs. It's been 80 plus RBIs in consecutive years. It's been 80 plus runs in consecutive years. You look at that, and that is a true five category contributor. Is the batting average outstanding? No, but he's not a guy that's going to sink you in batting average at all. And he provides that power, a little bit of speed that it can top off on top of what you have. And he's going to provide you those counting stats. And those are sometimes the sneakiest things to target. But I think based on lineup position, the Cubs are targeting Kyle Tucker. There's maybe a chance that lineup improves and gets a little bit better. So I think Happ is kind of a good bet. And I haven't seen him mentioned in any of the trade rumors with the Astros.
I love Happ. Like you said, he's just super consistent, super reliable, 120 WRC plus last 3 years. Last year, I remember when we did the outfield rankings, it was Seiya Suzuki, Brian Reynolds, and Ian Happ were all kind of in that same cluster where it's like 20 plus home runs, 10 plus stolen bases, very good OBP, like 340 to 350, and reasonable batting average. And I think he's kind of surpassed those other two, Seiya Suzuki and Brian Reynolds, for me. I prefer Ian Happ now in Dynasty. He's shown it. I think he's younger slightly, or he's not the oldest of that crew. I don't know why he's always mentioned in trade rumors usually for the Cubs. They're always trying to trade him. I just think he's so valuable, so underrated. He's put up 3.5 WAR seasons for three consecutive years, and it's like kind of under the radar. So I really like Hap, and let's say
that's because the Cubs are in the process of trying to trade Paredes. They're trying to trade Horner. They're trying to trade Bellinger. They have all these other guys that they want to move out to bring in new guys. So they're like, no, you can stay where you are this year. Don't worry about it, Happy. You're not going to have any rumors about you. But anyway, continue. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, I think in OBP leagues especially, I think he's someone you should try to get, because there's still, even though a lot of leagues have changed over to OBP from batting average, there's still that residual, that lingering batting average mentality that people have. So like the Emmanuel Rodriguez or the Kyle Schwarbers, like you're talking about, they're still kind of viewed as kind of not great, even in OBP leagues, because they just, the overhang of like being so bad in batting average kind of still lingers, which is obviously a mistake. As you said, Kyle Schwarber, like the number two hitter in OBP leagues or something like that. Like, I think that's true and happen that you may be able to get him for cheaper in an OBP league than you might otherwise, just because people are just kind of see him as a solid contributor, but not a superstar. But, you know, with a 340, 350 OBP and 25 home runs, 15 stolen bases, that's extremely valuable.
Well, we're gonna snake it on this one, and I'm gonna take my sleeper. So I don't know how much of a sleeper this one is. I think it's more using the term sleeper applying to players who are maybe a little bit undervalued. I can't quit Matt Wallner, Dylan. I
get it.
I thought I was ready to in the first half of last season. I had him on that DC team I had that ended up finishing second. But he was a big part of why I made such a big push to potentially win and was in contention on those extra days of those Mets-Braves games. His second half was huge. There's swing and miss, but there's big power. There's big on-base ability. He can play a position. In many ways, he is the new age Joey Gallo. And I think if you played in OBP leagues at the peak of Joey Gallo, he was a very, very valuable player. There is swing and miss concerns. He is a bit of a drain if you're playing in batting average leagues. But when he gets hot, it's tough to not play him. You know, he can put up a 2-week, 3-week span that's as good as anybody in the big leagues. So I still like Matt Wallner a lot. I feel like he's underrated. I feel like at the draft table, people are probably going to be a little bit apprehensive because of the swing and miss, because of the high strikeout rate. I say buy the dip.
Love Matt Wallner. Had Matt Wallner on that main event overall winning team. Also had him last year. He was a bit disappointing in the first half, like you said, but he did come back strong. I have him in that DC I did this year as well. Just massive power, especially against righties. So in those leagues where you can swap him in, semi-weekly, Monday to Thursday or Friday to Sunday, and it's like three righties, you just put him in with confidence. You know he's going to be in the middle of the lineup. He's probably going to pop a home run. And it's just, huge power. It just seemed like he was hitting a home run for us like every, like twice a week in our run there when we won the main event. And so Matt Wallner will always have a soft spot in my heart and fully endorse him as a target and a sleeper. Doesn't matter what category he's in, fully endorse.
Well, Dylan, now it's on to your target and sleeper. So tell me who that is.
Elliot Ramos of the Giants. Just as I was digging in, I'm like, you know, this is pretty good. I didn't realize how good his year was. I kind of thought he was like outperforming his metrics. I kind of thought that, you know, the Giants lost Jung-Hoo Lee. Yastrzemski wasn't so hot. Conforto wasn't so hot. It was just like, so you're kind of forced to play this guy. And so like, that's why he was hitting third or fourth in the lineup and he was kind of outperforming, but he actually looked pretty good under the hood. His X slug was 90th percentile. His barrel rate was 90th percentile. His bat speed's 90th percentile. And he's only 25 years old. It seems like he's been around forever. He was a RoboScout darling a few years ago. I saw him in the AFL, then he kind of fell off a bit, took a step back. But now he's pretty much got a full-time job with the Giants. He was playing a lot of center field last year with Jung-Hoo Lee back. Hopefully he can move to a more natural
corner where he's not bad defensively. And so being young, 25 years old, so there's still some growth to happen, already showing like 25 to 30 home run power, solid average, solid on base. Like he's not a drain, and he's not a huge help there, but he's totally right there. And to be able to get 25 to 30 home runs for the next 5 years, probably, he's not a liability defensively. So he should get the playing time as well. And then when Bryce Eldridge is here, like the lineup should improve. So I like Heliot Ramos. So I think he's underrated, and he's kind of a sleeper for me. I think that the dynasty owners who have him are probably very happy that they have him. They probably already know all the stuff that I'm saying. It's might be difficult to get him, but I think if you're worried that he's only done it for 1 year and hasn't really shown the pedigree, like the top pedigree of a prospect, and so you're a bit hesitant, I don't think you need to be hesitant. I think you can invest with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was a great call out by you when I went into the doc. He was a name that I was considering myself, and I gave you a damn you, Dylan, as I opened up the documents. So well done there. Going through the outfield list, did you feel like, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here as we end the show, do you feel like this is the deepest positional group that we've ranked yet? Because I thought it was pretty easily.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, we got to 100, and then I'm like, maybe we go 125, and I'm like, maybe we go 150, because there are just always names just on the fringe that I kind of want to put in, just because I think they should be mentioned.
We'll add them to the bigger list. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe we'll expand that out with a bigger list. I just, some of this was self-preservation on my part, cutting it at 100 with Rule 5 draft and four more handbook chapters after the one I've already turned in, and having to travel across the country twice in 4 days. So, some of my own selfishness. Sorry, readers, but still get 100. We wrote up a ton of them. We're going to have even more for you. And we're way ahead of it in ranking season right now. I think just based on where we've been from the last 2 years, we're in a really good spot. And I think by combining the positions, at least from my own personal perspective, I think it's given more perspective as to where certain players rank against their peers. And where they'll rank in the bigger dynasty list at the end. So we have pitchers. We're going to skip a week for the handbook turn-in, which is next week. So it's all hands on deck here at BA. But right before Christmas, we're probably going to drop our starting pitcher list, and you guys can enjoy that. Dylan, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate your time. Have a good rest of your week. And I'll talk to you when I'm back in Boston. Everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. And this was the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Have a safe flight. Cheers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.